Caduceus Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations, and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Inner Sight. Inner Sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have within you the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So stay with us, and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. This is a thought from Alice Bailey. And Alice Bailey has written 24 volumes of literature, and all of the dialogue that you'll hear on this show emanates from the works of Alice Bailey, who is the founder of Lucis Trust, and Inner Sight is sponsored by the Lucis Trust organization. The law of spiritual retribution requires that justice be meted out, but hatred will close the eyes of justice. That's a lot of depth to that thought. I would like to think that I don't have to be proactive if someone violates me, that spirituality will seek retribution for me, or perhaps karma. But maybe first you should explain what is meant by the law of spiritual retribution, Dale and Sarah, and how it's applied in a just way.
The law of spiritual retribution is also known as the law of karma, that people might be familiar with. Karma is known as the law of cause and effect. It's the recognition that what goes around comes around, that you must do unto others as you would have them do unto you, that you have to give out that which you wish to receive in return. All of these are ways of saying that whatever you put into the world comes back to you. And this statement from Alice Bailey that says that the law of spiritual retribution requires that justice be rendered, but that hatred will close the eyes of justice, touches upon the situation that we see in the world today, in the Middle East in particular, with the terrible conflict and the eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth kind of retaliatory action that is going on, and it's hard to envision when it will stop. If you act out of hatred, you're always trying to settle a score, always trying to pay somebody back, always trying to get even, which is an interesting concept itself, to get even. Well, maybe we can talk about that a bit later. But this kind of hatred can skew the rendering of real justice.
Yes, there's a statement in the book of Job I came across the other day that seems to be pertinent to this question also, and it says, "They that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same," which is also mm-hmm. the same as same you reap concept. What you sow. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of what we see going on in the Middle East, and perhaps they have still a ways to go to work that out. But the thing about, you mentioned about balance, we have to think about this spirit, the law of retribution in terms of energy. Mm-hmm. If you think of it in terms of energy, there is a law of physics, if you remember back in your high school physics class, that said for every action there's an equal and opposite reaction. So the laws of physics also recognize this same action and reaction. And everything that's happening has to do with energy and forces applying against each other. And they all work according to some spiritual law that underlies all the movement of energies.
I think one of the points behind this idea that it's energy that's really being expressed and directed is that as long as you've got an equal and opposing reaction in terms of retaliation, you've got one energy setting off another, and there's no equilibrium that can be established. Whereas maybe the attainment of equilibrium depends on finding a third point that literally provides a release out of the impasse.
That's the only way one gets off this back and forth reaction, action and reaction, action. And is there needs to be that third force, that in between. It's the middle path of the Buddha, the mm-hmm. middle way, mm-hmm. and the third force, the third force that enables the two opposing forces to lift themselves up to come to some agreement at the middle.
To find some kind of convergence, some kind of common ground in looking mm-hmm. towards some future goal, perhaps. And I was reading an interesting book by the writer Robert Kaplan, who writes for the Atlantic Monthly. And he wrote a book which the title, as usual, I forget and remember the second half of it, which was From Someplace to Tertiary, which was a journey through the Near East. And he said that he talked to one enlightened thinker there who said that he thought the concept of enlightened self-interest would be what would bring an end to the impasse, to the constant retaliation, evoking the people's sense of enlightened self-interest, which would be self-preservation, mm-hmm. which you could only have if you stop retaliating and figure out a way to get out of the endless conflict. And it struck me that probably that appeal would register if there were someone or some wise group who could show this third point that would lead or serve enlightened self-interest to everyone involved.
That's why to resolve that conflict has to come from outside, perhaps, because mm-hmm. they're not perhaps ready to recognize this third force.
That's what's envisioned for the World Court, which we're reading about more and more. The World Court in The Hague, which is currently dealing with the trial of Milosevic, of the former Yugoslavia, Serbia, that some matters of really crucial world importance have to be turned over to a more dispassionate world body, like the World Court, that takes the problem out of the local area, the nation that's involved in the conflict, and turns it over to a trusted but more dispassionate and hopefully discriminating source of judgment and justice. And I don't know if the world's ready for this idea of a world court. The United States, for one, has been reluctant to sign on to it. But to me, it seems like a step forward to bring about a more international consensus on how to deal with real wrongdoing. There was a conflict between Ecuador and Peru a few years ago over a boundary, and they agreed, both sides, to turn it over to the World Court. And the World Court rendered a verdict that they could all accept.
Well, that certainly sounds enlightened.
Yeah, rare and enlightened. And there's another instance like that in Central America between Nicaragua and, I don't know, Honduras, where they're fighting over boundaries, and I think it's going before the World Court. Why shouldn't some of these matters be entrusted to a more removed and elevated place where verdict can be rendered?
Mm-hmm. Well, certainly the belief in karma is probably, first what has to happen is the belief, I guess. If mankind mm-hmm. can believe in karma and just say, well, I've been violated, but I'm going to allow the spirit of the universe to enact and implement karma, I think the belief in it is so important, but unfortunately people aren't ready to believe yet, a lot of people. What is the difference between justice and retribution?
Well, justice is a conviction that there is a divine law at work. Retribution says As you just mentioned, I've been wronged, and I want somehow someone to get even.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, when you find yourself saying or focusing on how you've been wronged, maybe you're not looking at your own part in the problem. Maybe you're not aware of other times when you might have been the wrongdoer. It can be a little bit blind to the reality of a situation to focus only on what's been done to you. I think all human beings are part of probably an endless series of wrongs done and received. And this is where the concept of forgiveness comes in. We all need forgiving. We all need to forgive. We all need to be forgiven. In my opinion, mm-hmm. This is just my opinion. If anyone is saying to himself, I've never wronged anyone in my whole life, I'd like to meet that person because I've never met such a saint. You know, when you really get ensconced in your own indignation at how rotten the world treats you, then you aren't seeing the full picture.
No, not seeing the full picture, and that's also true when it comes to the more spiritual observation or the spiritual side of retribution.
Mm-hmm.
We tend to think of it in physical terms. You do a wrong to me, and I, in turn, do a wrong to you. But this doesn't take into account the retribution and justice that it takes place at the soul level, at the level of the soul, because the soul has its own way of dealing with these energies and forces that have been rendered out of balance. And it has its own cycle of doing these. It may correct a mistake in the next lifetime,
mm-hmm.
and not
not instantaneously as
no,
we would prefer.
Retribution is not always swift, as we sometimes say, but we have to take this into account more and more. I think that justice will be meted out, but it may be the justice of God in God's own way or mm-hmm. the soul's own way, because the soul has its own pattern of dealing with this sort of thing.
And I think it is a matter of belief, as you, Robert, say. You believe that the soul puts right all wrongs, or you don't. I happen to believe that, but it's true, as you say, that there's a time cycle that may not suit our own self-interest so much. But I came across an interesting realization about this concept of retribution. What you're talking about, the soul and justice, is found in that very well-known statement, though the mills of God grind slowly, yet they grind exceeding small. I did get that right, everyone. I know you want to say exceedingly fine, but the translation by Longfellow of a German writer named Friedrich von Logau was, though the mills of God grind slowly, yet they grind exceeding small. And what's interesting is that statement comes from a poem called Retribution. And it's the very poetic, beautiful way of expressing that the soul has its own time, but it doesn't overlook anything. And I find that very comforting, and I also find it a warning to be on your toes and to not think that you've escaped anything at all. The score is settled. And I think that's very well known in all religions, because there are many ways of saying this. Meeting St. Peter, Judgment Day, being weighed in the balances. These are all concepts from various different cultures that we are held accountable. So this shouldn't be news to anyone.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight, and our topic for today is justice and retribution. And we're giving away a general package of information today. So many people call, ask us who we are, what we're all about, what we believe in. Probably the most commonly asked question is Lucis Trust, is it a religion? And the answer to that is emphatically no, we're not a religion. But we do consider ourselves a spiritual philosophy organization. We explore a spiritual philosophy, and we have people from all walks of life who take an interest in Lucis Trust, and and also who listen to our show, Inner Sight, and read our literature. And this time of the year, by the way, we have a very interesting series of conferences. At this time of the year, we hold our most important public meetings, the three spiritual festivals and the annual Arcane School Conference, all of which are coming up in March and April, and you would be welcome to attend and meet other people who share an interest in this work and teaching. And I think what you'd be interested in, if you do meet with us and share our conferences with us and interact with us, is you'll see people from all walks of life and so many different backgrounds. And if you're interested, please write or call for a meeting schedule and a conference program. And if you'd like to call us, you can call us on our toll-free number. It's 1-866-695-8247. Once again, that's 1-866-695-8247. And order that general package of information. It's quite comprehensive. There's so much literature in it telling you who we are, what we're about. I think you'll find it interesting reading as well. And an easy way of remembering the number is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of New York LUCIS, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. And all the work, by the way, all the work of LUCIS Trust, including this radio program, is funded by the voluntary donations of people like yourselves who support the goals of the LUCIS Trust. We're not endowed, nor do we have a wealthy benefactor who helps to pay for this program. We depend on the donations, large and small, of individuals. So please give if you want these programs to continue on the air. And if you have a pen, I'd be happy to give you the address that you write to, or if you'd like to send a donation to us. Donations can be sent to LUCIS, L-U-C-I-S, LUCIS Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. That's LUCIS Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And we would, Sarah mentioned before the idea of forgiveness, and it just ran through my mind, Sarah, that a lot of times I think I forgive, but I think to truly forgive is to
forget.
Let go of the experience. And sometimes I'll say I forgive that person, but I don't really feel that I have unless I really let go of the experience. But
just keep in mind that there are others probably feeling the same way about you.
That's true, yeah. But I think that's probably the criteria for true forgiveness is to let go of that experience, whatever it is that we're harboring. Why do you think there is such a rise in hatred in the world today? And does it mean that we might be headed, God forbid, towards another world war?
I don't know, but it is true, or it seems to be apparent that hatred is on the rise. One factor that it's purely speculative, but this is an age that is passing out. We hear references to the new age and the old age. The present time is an era between an old and a new age, and the energy that has conditioned and qualified the past age of the 2,000 years of Pisces was an age of idealism, and of abstract devotion to ideals, to spiritual values. But the downside of that aspiration is that it fosters fanaticism. And the writings of Alice Bailey touch on the increasing fanaticism as this idealistic tendency, I guess you could say, crystallizes and becomes cruder and cruder as the energy withdraws itself, because that's what happens as an energy cycle phases out. The energy becomes cruder and coarser. And we do see incredible fanaticism in the world. The person with the courage of his convictions can be quite scary.
Yes, it's... I was just thinking it has to do also with during this crystallized period. Here again, we're working with energy, and it's the hatred that's rising up in the world and has been for some time now in the past few decades it's like the last ditch effort of these fanatical elements in our world, in our society, our human society, to have their say, to have what they want to be said, to be made known to the world. But on the other hand, it gets back to what I said earlier about the energies and forces and equal and opposite reaction to each other. There is also counteracting this hatred in the world, a growing and stronger voice of goodwill and love.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the encouraging sign, and I think that's why we won't disintegrate into another world war, because the strength of love and goodwill in the world today is so much stronger that it can counteract the hatred that is out there. And a good example of that is just happened just a few months ago at the attack on the World Trade Center. There was a tremendously evil act, which was immediately on the same day. It was counteracted by a great outpouring of love and goodwill. And I think that's a prime demonstration of these energies and forces at work here. So.
Yes, the forces of evil, if they have an effect on human beings, I think they foster the tendency to want to separate and stand apart. And you can see that at work in the world today, the tendency of certain people, certain individuals to want to separate themselves, to maintain their separation, their apartness. That can seem quite understandable in the case of minority groups in larger societies, but it's also something that I think we should be on the alert for, because when we are separating ourselves from the larger humanity, we become a part of an opposition, just as you've talked about, that sets up a cycle of action and reaction. We're opposing something else. If we identify with a small group of people, we are seeing ourselves as separate from and opposed to the larger whole. And that creates a situation where there can be retaliation and retribution. At the same time, we have this phenomenal expression of globalization underway in the world. And although globalization has its flaws and its problems, people of goodwill, I think, understand the inevitability of it and the basic rightness of it, drawing peoples together.
Yes, certainly. And it is, with the communications explosion we have and the Internet and all of that, it's creating this kind of global sense that we all are gaining, and it's really the direction I think we have to be going, even though a lot of people may be opposed to it. But it has its good part, and there was something else I just wanted to mention also about the hatred and goodwill. These are tend to be come to the fore because of the focus of consciousness. Where one's consciousness is focused, that's where one's energies will be placed. And if one is operating from an emotional level, from his solar plexus, let's say, then he may react to him more violently than one who has a more heart approach. And I think that sort of makes the difference too, of in this action and reaction.
I always read my horoscope, and I was wondering, why is justice depicted? By the way, I'm under the sign of Libra, but why is justice depicted by the scales evenly balanced?
You know, I've wondered about that for the longest time. Wouldn't you think justice would come down on the side of one or the other? I'm still of the old age where I favor one side and not the other. But justice does, in fact, seek an equilibrium. And I was thinking and thinking about this, and I came up with the idea that maybe the third point, which we mentioned earlier, is what justice seeks. This, I think, was touched upon by the Buddha when he talked about the noble middle way, which is the way between the pairs of opposites. The Buddha did not advise that we take one side or the other, but track or chart the razor-edged path through the pairs of opposites and beyond them. And this is where we find justice, knowing all the while that the law of karma does inevitably fulfill itself eventually. I think you can aspire to justice and the realization that karma will correct all wrongs. They don't preclude each other.
No, and in that symbol, the scales, there wouldn't be a scale if it wasn't balanced on that third point, that fulcrum.
That's right.
And that is what creates the third point. And otherwise, it would be just sitting there, and there would be a duality, but there wouldn't be a third point,
right.
A duality of opposing forces. Or, you know, on a court case, you have defense and prosecution and all that. And so it's the judge and the jury that provide the point at the center.
And I suppose these pairs of opposites become increasingly subtle as the human being treads the spiritual path. It starts out with very obvious oppositions, but they become more and more subtle on the path. I think that pertains to an individual and to a society. I think nations and whole peoples are finding that they have to make more and more subtle judgments. Here we are still the most litigious society on earth. We haven't really figured out that going to court doesn't always settle in a really just way. So we have a lot to learn, I think.
Mm-hmm. I look upon Buddha and Christ and some of our other great spiritual leaders as being people who genuinely believed in karma. You never see them being proactive with revenge.
And no.
It's always a feeling that the universe and karma, spiritual law, will take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's really the way to peace. And remember, we're giving away a general package of information. There's a lot of interesting literature in that general package of information, and all you have to do to order it is just give us a call on our toll-free number, and that toll-free number is 1-866-695-8247. An easy way to remember it, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of New York, LUCIS. And that's about all the time we have for our discussion today, and you've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.